So in this session, I'm going to focus on fear and love. So when I think about that, the topic of fear and love, I think about where does the experience of fear and the experience of love lie in our experience of just living and living life in relationship. They're very broad. It's a very broad sort of topic. But for me, it's an important identification of what can be seen as two primary dimensions of life. Fear can be seen, the way I'm expressing it, as I mentioned earlier in the program, that there's fear that can be experienced as acute fear. In other words, I have an experience, an episodic experience of, given this one episode in life, a situation in life, it might bring up an experience of fear. This might happen a lot or a little. So that's what I call acute fear in the midst of life itself. And then there's another kind of fear that I've discovered not only in myself but observed in others. It's more of a condition of life itself. It's called chronic fear. So sort of it's kind of always there. Now, whether or not an individual is able to identify it or not is a different matter. My sense is that as long as we are living in some kind of separation and the experiences and the behaviors and communication that are an expression of separation, for me, we are then living in fear. So anytime there is separation, meaning anytime there is any kind of defendedness or protection, the operating factor there is fear. Now, that's defined more as a condition of consciousness, more than an emotional feeling. So that distinction for me is important. The condition of consciousness that can be described as when the identity or the conscious being is identified as a separate being, as I live in separation to others, to the world, and to life. That there is this tension that is more of a, can be called an existential tension in life. That's a function of my identification in life. So that when the being is identified as a separate being in separation, what goes with that is this tension in the being that's felt physically, it's felt chronically, emotionally, and the manifestation that in thoughts and in language is an expression of separation. So everything that we identify as judgmental, evaluative thinking, jackal language, etc., is a function of this fundamental kind of tension of separation. I've often regarded it as the wound of separation. It's a basic wounding of being alive and in separation. Separation meaning I'm not existing in a sort of non-resistant, unified, undefended place of being in relationship to all of life. An actual unified way of living with life. And so fear in this context is that experience that follows from the identification of being a separate being, a separate self. And so this topic can be explored from various levels or dimensions. So we look at the model that I presented that's been very meaningful for me, that I presented earlier around these three dimensions of our beingness. One is our essential being, our true nature, whatever our true identity, who we really are as a being. We call that essence. And then on the outer layer of our essence is the zone of our vulnerability. The vulnerability is that zone that is characterized by, it's a feeling place, it's an energetic state of being. And there are certain qualities and characteristics in this vulnerable, open state that exist in relationship to life. Feelings such as an openness, there's a tenderness, there's a softness to it. But it's not the kind of softness that the mind can often interpret as weak. There's a strength in this kind of softness. And then there, vulnerability is an openness, not only to the tender feelings of sorrow, sadness, or other emotional feelings, but it's open also to the very force of life itself for my essence. It's open to joy, open to creativity, to play. So that's the other dimension. And then in our experience of life, through the conditioning, through the messages that we've experienced individually, culturally, and on a larger sort of planetary basis, and through our difficult and traumatic experiences in life, the system has created a way to protect ourselves from these traumatic and difficult experiences, so that we live mostly identified in this protection and separation from these structures and defensive structures as a way of surviving in life. And so the primary function in this survival mode, when we are defending ourselves, when we're acting in a way that's protective, when we're compensating, for example, then the primary function, the energetic function, is what I call fear. So it's that basic experience that can be expressed as, it's me over and against the world. I'm over here and the world is out there, and we are separate and disconnected. And it's felt energetically. So I'll just sort of describe that in that way. When we feel this tension of fear, and as I'm speaking, I'm wanting this to be received more than an intellectual understanding. And I'm speaking, and I'm inviting each person to identify in this moment, can you sense your own sense of tension, your own sense of how you live in relationship to life? Just kind of feel it. Feel that tension. Feel the sense of, here I am in relationship to others, to life, to the world. And see if there's a sense, you may use different words or these words, that here I am in relationship to life. It's me, in a way, over and against life. It's like we're almost like two separate realities. And when that experience is registered, now what you say, that everything I say is neither good nor bad, right or wrong, because all of those interpretations come from the evaluative mind, preferable or not preferable. I should be feeling it or I shouldn't be feeling this. In my observation, there's a very pervasive tendency for the mind to filter out any message in terms of good and bad, right or wrong, preferable, not preferable. So having said that, notice in yourself, you have a sense of, how does the tension, the separation exist in your life? Just feel into it, even if it's a sort of a very broad or general feeling. Is there a characteristic feeling in the body? Now, sometimes a feeling is so present that we don't even notice it because it's been with us our whole lives. Just a holding, a tension. Is there a characteristic message, or could be called a core belief about who you are in life? Do you have a characteristic emotional feeling, perhaps, of saying, and that might be a reflection of the core belief, that might say, I don't belong. Life is not safe. And just an invitation to observe how this is in you. Or even if you can observe it in you. Whenever I'm in this fear, there is in me the sense of I am protecting something. There's a tension in there. And I can, even if I tune into it, even though I may not be feeling it very strongly, there I can feel the fear. Where my mind says, I can't let this down. I can't really show who I really am, how I authentically feel. I can't really dive into my creativity and express and be myself for what I really want in my life. I can't really do that. People won't hear me. I won't make enough money. I won't be successful. There's no place for me in the world. It goes on and on and on. So just notice if in you, how this might exist in you. And if you can further notice, is there a feeling tone to this message that we carry with ourselves? When I feel this fear in me, and when I feel acute fear even, or even in the midst of this always existent tension of what holds me in relationship to life, one of the principles that I've noticed that is really important for me is that right at the edge of this fear is my vulnerability. If I can just tune to it just a little bit. Even as I speak now, I can feel it in my chest. I can sense my own fear, my own tension that exists in my life, that I carry with me all the time, that gets stimulated from time to time. And right at the edge of that fear is my vulnerability. When I tune into the vulnerability, what is the nature of my vulnerability? It can change from moment to moment, but in this moment, I feel the vulnerability in the body. It's very subtle at first, but I feel it here in the chest and in my belly. I even feel some energy at the back of my head, my neck. In my belly, it starts to feel a little warm. There's a tenderness, a softness in me, and an edge of sadness. And it's not aimed towards anything or anyone in particular. It's kind of there in life. And I get images of a sense of my own younger self. And in some approaches to life, you know, the construct is there are parts of me, and this is the younger part, the inner child, the wounded inner child. All of those are constructs that point to a living reality. As I feel that in me, the construct can be helpful to help me connect with this, the quality of tenderness, of fragility, of sadness. But then it's very important for me to feel the vulnerability. Because even if it's vulnerable fear, I can feel and be fearful. But the vulnerable fear is a qualitatively different feeling than the frozen fear, that which is more entrenched. I feel softer. I feel a movement in me that has a feeling, like an emotional feeling. And in the sadness, I stay with this vulnerability, I stay with it. Because there's something, even in this moment as I speak, even in the vulnerability, when I listen, not just listen and feel into the energy of my vulnerability, there, it's as though there's a call. There's a cry. There is a life. There is a force that is speaking in a way. These are all metaphorical terms, not really speaking, but it is a communication from life itself. And the best word that I found is that there's a longing right underneath the fear and the tender vulnerability and the sadness. There's a longing. What is a longing for? And I feel it even as I say it, the force comes through my throat. And it's so simple, and the mind can interpret it as, yeah, yeah, that's nothing new. But that doesn't matter because I want to stay in the heart and not be diverted from the mental narrative of my experience. So the longing is so simple. It's a longing for love. It's a longing for a quality that the word love is the only thing I know how to express it. It's a longing for love. If I say the part of me, you long for love, what does that mean? Tell me more. That part of me says, I just want care. I want no matter what I say or what I do, I still belong. No matter what I say or what I do or what I don't do, you'll still love me. I'll still feel care. The no matter whatness is the most important element. The no matter what. The deep longing of my soul. No matter what. There's care, there's belonging, there's love. No matter what. And the other voice that's receiving me in my longing for love says to me, I will not turn away. I will always be here. It is some voice that the longing does not know where this voice is, or the source of it is maybe some unseen source. Maybe it appears that it comes from a significant other, or friends, or relations, or co-workers. Maybe that's what the longing is for, that I want to be seen and understood and accepted no matter what, under all conditions. Rather than unconditional love, it's all conditional love. That is the longing. But notice how I got there. I'm noticing how I got there. How I got there is through the doorway of fear. Fear is not an experience that is other than the thread of energy to love. It's not other than love. It's my connector to love. It's my connector to that mysterious, vast, open source of life itself that is the very source of my longing. This journey that I am now expressing, it lives in me. And it is the journey that is no different than the journey that I've been expressing and guiding and inviting us all in the exercises and the practices. It's the same journey. It's the same journey. It's the same journey, I believe, that I've learned in the process of nonviolent or compassionate communication. It's the same journey. To be able to, in myself, see and feel that the very everything I do and say and everything that everybody else does and say is life's longing for itself. In all the various forms, in all the various dimensions and the facets of this wonderful diamond, I long for support, you long for support. I long for belonging and you long for belonging. I long for understanding, be seen, and so do you. I long to live in a way in relationship to my wholeness that I call integrity. And I know that you long for that too. I long to make sense of my life so that there's meaning. And I know that you long for that too. We call those needs, but for me, they're more than needs. Their life's longing for itself. And I come to that realization. I come to that. I discover it. Or maybe more accurately, it reveals itself to me. It's a revelation. When I allow myself, when I'm led and supported perhaps by others in the environment, when I allow myself to consider the possibility that there's a different way that I can be with my experience of life, different from what I've learned, completely different. When I can be shown that nothing in me, nothing in you, nothing that I feel, that I say, that I do, is the enemy. That it's everything that can be experienced is the element of life itself. Everything that can be experienced is asking for a calling to be seen, to be understood, to be held as a concept, as a philosophy. That might be a beginning point, but if it's only a concept or philosophy, it's not very helpful. It in my experience, what it requires are these things and maybe more. What it requires is for each person to say to themselves, this longing for love, for authenticity, for presence in all the different forms is the most important in my life. It is that which is the most important. And if this is the most important in my life, if it truly is, and I'm not just saying it, then what follows from that is everything I do, everything I say, everything I feel. So that can be called a commitment. But it's more than a commitment. It's perhaps a discovery, a revelation. And so it may not be easy to find the beauty and the purity of this call for love. It's not easy, based on my experience and what I've observed. So if it's not easy, then can we help to lead ourselves in partnership? Can I lead myself and ask for support from you? So holding and beholding this human experience of fear and love for me as an aspect of a whole has been very, very important. I've lived in so much of my life with the presence of fear so strongly in my life, more predominantly in earlier parts of my life, but still it's here. And what has been the most radical thing for me, that is a gradual process, is what I can describe, even though I've never described it in words necessarily, is that making my fear a companion. Because it is the form that my life force is taking right now. Whenever it is in that moment. And so the invitation is, can I see, feel the love that is hidden in the fear? This is the invitation. This is the invitation of nonviolence, in my view. Because what appears to be violent and disconnecting is nothing more than fear that is hidden in the deep longing for love, the deep longing for significance to be seen, the deep longing to matter. Can I see this and hold this in myself and see my enemy in a different way? So that my enemy, the image that I have of my enemy, is transformed by seeing everyone as vulnerable and in need of love in all the different forms. This for me is an inner transformation. It's an inner revolution. It's the very nature of this work. This work of self-compassion, this work of how I can communicate compassionately and non-violently. So when I feel my existence in life, and I actually feel the embodiment of it in the energetic of my being, that's called sensations, it feels like a fire. It feels like a fire in me. And the fire in me wants to burn. Not necessarily burn loudly, that may not be my style, but burn nonetheless. To radiate, to shine. Now when I'm in this place, when I'm in this life form, in this life energy, in love, the nature of this love wants to burn, which is a way of giving out. It's giving. It wants to radiate. It's different from the part of me who's not yet connected with that, not yet reached that, the part of me that wants to acquire, wants to have. Now again, there's no judgment here. It's just a recognition of the distinction. That during my life, there's the energetic, the constellation part of me that has been hurt, traumatized, that traumatically hurt part of me that my protective and defensive mechanism tries to protect my deep vulnerability, always looks out to acquire, I want approval, I want love from the other, I want to know that I'm okay, I want to see from the external that I'm an okay person. And for me, it's important that I recognize that when that's active in me. Because what I've learned from that part of me who so desperately wants love and approval from something to come outside to fill what's felt as an inner deficiency, an inner emptiness, I've discovered that it never works. I might get it, what it appears to be temporary approval, but it always goes away and the emptiness is always there. And what I've discovered is that when I'm able to bring a particular quality of attention to this inner longing, this inner pain, then what reveals itself to me is a quality of an inner being that contains, that is love itself. So that more and more I no longer seek outside of me. That doesn't mean that I don't engage in life, but I do engage the more I am with this fire, with this passion, with the life force that says to me, live, engage, be with, contribute, participate, serve, communicate. And this is a journey of feeling. By feeling, I mean more than emotional feelings. It's a journey of when I am feeling love, it's an energetic, it's a vibratory. It's a feeling of the energy that contains an intelligence in the energy itself. It's a loving intelligence. So it's not negating. The intellect is different from the intelligence that lives in the heart. So it's not about negating the intellect, but it's about discovering the clarity and the wisdom and the intelligence of this life force itself. So for me, there is a beautiful relationship in the whole, the total container of fear in this fundamental tension or separation from life that is inviting compassion and spaciousness that allows the love to emerge. It's not one over and against the other. Fear as opposed to love. It's all the same basic impulse in life that animates all of it and all the dimensions of our life. So what I'd like to do is pause now and have experienced some connection with whatever is resonating in you from having heard or received what I shared right now. Be very interested in hearing that.
I was recognizing what you were talking about with what I was calling for myself was a low-level feeling of anxiety that I didn't even know was there, because it was so normal to me to just feel like this that I had no idea I had a low level feeling of anxiety until I didn't. You know, so there'd be just a few times here and there where I would suddenly feel this delicious sensation of complete support and security in the universe. And then I wouldn't feel it. But, you know, those times are pretty rare. And most of the time I'm feeling this, I have this experience of this low level feeling of anxiety, that's what I call it. And I don't even notice it. You know, it's just, it's like background noise. And, I just figure it's part of life. You know, it's just the way it is. And I had my ideas about why it was part of mine, but you're saying that everybody has this.
I believe to varying degrees.
Well, that's disappointing. For some reason, I was hoping that a few people had this.
I've never done a scientific experiment or polls, but just based on my experience with the people and my observation, sense that everyone to some degree experiences. I wouldn't call it anxiety, but I would call it the tension of separation and what follows from that, the behaviors, the actions, the speech. Maybe there's perhaps rare numbers of people who do not experience separation. I believe that there are. I have no idea how many or who they are.
Yeah.
I'm just appreciating the invitation to give some space and some curiosity to my fears. In a variety of different ways, just existential fear that you talked about and the edge there, and before when I was imagining you know, encountering this person in my life and the fears that came up there, I don't know, I guess I feel some hope as in, you know, instead of being so reactive, I mean, I can see that there's a lot that happens in me that has fear behind it. And so I guess I'm just appreciating that strategy of giving more space and curiosity to my fear.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I think what I shared for me creates the opportunity to is this message that I'm communicating. Can it reference your experience? And then if it does, what can you do with it? Do meaning the inner doing. How can you be with it? And I am hearing, I also see hope. I also feel hope when I hear you. Because I think for me, the conclusion is, I can go with what I've learned and say, well, this is the way it is. It'll never change. I'm helpless in the face of this fear. I can create strategies to avoid it or to enact it in some way, but fundamentally it's this there. So is there a possibility that there can be a completely different relationship with the fear without demonizing it, without pushing it away, without pathologizing it, and approach it in a very different way that opens up very different possibilities that the mind can never conceive of right now? That's the hope for me. So I'm very happy to hear some hope, a little bit of hope awakened in you.
Thanks.
Yes.
Well, I have a lot of gratitude for your personal journey and your sharing this with me and with us. And I have a lot of hope because it helps me to hear this articulated. I mean, so much of the culture I live in denies that whole reality. And, you know, all the addiction to, you know, Prozac and alcohol and drugs and overeating and, you know, I mean, it's there all over the place, but it's also the culture is saying, not us. We don't feel fear. We just spend half of our, you know, gross national product on, you know, military and it's taken care of, you know. No fear. So anyway, it's really hopeful and strengthening to me to hear this articulated. I appreciate it so much. The other thing that occurs to me is that I need to have a personal practice that incorporates this, a way of life, as you said in the beginning of the program. This is a way of life. This isn't just a program. It's a way of life that I really want to embrace more fully and have this as part of the fabric of this, so that I'm constantly in compassion for myself, my own fear, which I have plenty of, and everybody else's fear, which I see plenty of in various you know, manifestations. Then the third thing that occurs to me is the need for community, that I really value having other people around who have this consciousness. Like Kristen just shared that, so this is she's aware of it, and I've never heard you say that about that you've, there have been times that you know, where you felt supported and secure in the universe, but that really has a lot of meaning for me, and I hold that tenderly and with a lot of gratitude, and it's precious to me just knowing that you've had some experiences like that. So I feel very hopeful.
Thank you, Joe.
I have a fear that this question is elementary, but in other processes, there's an emphasis on this. It's my thinking, my thoughts, my bodily sensations. And to me, that implies some separation between what I observe and what's happening in me. These are mine, not yours. So I feel confused then in this offering that there is no separation. I don't know how to, I don't understand. That wasn't very succinct, but.
Yeah, I think I understand your question, but I want to take some time, because the context of what you said was, this is mine, my thinking, my feeling, my sensation. And the context of what, and you experienced that as separation, and the context of the kind of separation I talked about are two different things.
Okay.
So I want to start out with that. It's almost as though I'm hearing you mix the contexts.
I think I am mixing two different things.
Yeah.
Confusion.
Yeah. And so let's just see if you can get the context that I was just sharing and just get that. Now, the experience of separation is one that is felt energetically. Do you connect with that? Okay.
I can connect with.
Okay.
The word separation doesn't work for me personally, yeah, but I can connect with the word resistance.
Okay. So resistance, to me, they're the same thing. But so notice resistance. Now, in that moment, if I'm thinking about non-separation and I'm experiencing, if I'm thinking about non-resistance and I'm experiencing resistance, I want to be able to start from the immediacy of my experience of resistance, which part of the pathway to exploring that is by owning this, these are my thoughts, my feelings, my sensations. Though, and the characteristic of those experiences can be resistant. But that's the immediacy of that experience. So the approach is approaching the resistant experience in a way that allows it to transform into the non-resistive experience. So that's the context that I think would hold the understanding that I'm trying to convey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robert. I almost felt like I was in an altered state. I was just really taking every bit of you in I could and in your presentation. And I really felt that energetically you were, like there were no boundaries for that period of time. It was quite something for me. And for me, fear has been something that I have not admitted to myself for years. And it was too scary, I guess. But it's definitely something that I know lives in me. And that sense of separation you're talking about is palpable inside of me all the time, every day. And the tension that you're talking about is just sort of this low level all the time.
Yeah.
And something about how you presented it today, I just feel such immense relief and gratitude to that. One, I'm not alone. So there is a group I belong to. Yay. And it's all okay. There's something I don't... So I feel really able to like move within what you're talking about. And I definitely feel like I can be a member.
Thank you, Mari. I just want to say one thing about what Mari just said that I enjoy, I feel very hopeful about is, for me, one of the most... What Mari just said contains something that's, in my view, very, very important. The paraphrase is something like, I didn't want to admit that I was fearful, but now I can. That is such an important step. Such an important step to say authentically, this is what I'm feeling, whereas before I didn't say that. It's such an important step that this is a threshold into the doorway of some immense possibilities. So I'm hopeful hearing that. I love hearing that.
Okay. I want to really grasp this. And I keep thinking of what some other teachings I've had in the past, which say it's either fear or love, you know, and you choose to come from one or the other. And I feel like what I'm getting is this total other message right now, which is like, through fear, I get to love.
Yes, that's exactly the message. And I'm aware of the it's either fear or love paradigm. And it is different than that.
And that message that I've had has caused me so much suffering.
Yeah.
Because when I was in fear and yeah, when I felt fear,
yeah,
I was telling myself that I was being bad or
yes,
wrong,
yeah,
because I wasn't being loving.
Yeah. And I think that's the limitation of that kind of a message. I'm not even going to go to whether how accurate or useful or truthful that is. What's important is the question is, does a message like that serve,
yeah,
or does it not serve?
Yeah.
That's what's important to me. And I think the very thing that you have concluded is probably not an unusual conclusion, which is, can I conclude that something that I'm feeling is wrong or bad? It stimulates the mind into further pushing away, mm, and not compassionately embracing anything that I'm feeling.
Yeah. I mean, love the jackal, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
and enjoy the Jackal Show. Yeah. And all those, I hear those over and over, and I feel like I've been taking little steps.
Yeah.
And yet it's still, I was taking NVC as a, you know, still with a bad and a good.
Yeah.
I'm doing this good, I'm doing this bad. I'm in from the beauty of the needs, and when I'm not, I'm bad, so I better get to the beauty of the needs. This, what you're proposing right now, just feels so much more like the self-love and self-acceptance that I want. I want just such an abundance of that.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to bring this session to a close, and just I'm very grateful, appreciative of the opportunity to share this and have it be received from you in the way that it did. You did receive it. And I believe that this message, this communication that I'm offering around fear and love is really different than anything I've ever heard. Because my relationship to fear is not something that I want to let go of. I don't want to let go of it. It's a form of resisting it when I let go of it. It's not something I want to transcend. My fear is the living life force that arises in me through my system, and it takes the form of fear because of what I've lived through, because of the condition that we all share culturally as a human species, even on that large basis. And if life is going to ever transform on this planet, within each of us individually, it's going to be done by taking the spirit of nonviolence to the very heart of every element of my internal experience. Every element. And not push any of it away. It doesn't mean I get lost in it. It doesn't mean I perpetuate a disconnection because I'm embracing my fear. It means I open the doorway. I open all the possibility to actually release the potential of that fundamental, powerful, and beautiful life force that exists within the fear itself. So, that's all. We'll end this session. Move on to the next one.